Continuing our brief summer series of selections from the Songs of Ascents, we turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 this evening, the second of the Songs of Ascents. This is God's inspired word. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. We'll be considering the entire psalm tonight in the sermon. Beloved congregation, how often along our earthly pilgrimage we find ourselves struggling in our hearts with unspoken, agonizing burdens and cares. While friends and family may not know and understand, know that Jehovah knows and Jehovah understands, and still more, that He provides wonderful ways and means for us to deal with the struggles of our heart. And one not insignificant way in which He does that is through His inspired songbook, that He would have us sing the psalms. And to sing especially these songs of ascent. For these were songs, you understand, in which God would have the Old Testament pilgrims traveling on their pilgrimage to Mount Zion to take upon their lips to sing from the heart. A pilgrimage which, of course, pictures that broader, more important pilgrimage that every pilgrim takes to the heavenly Mount Zion above. These songs then are full of instruction, either directly or indirectly, direct or indirect instruction, and therefore full of precious encouragements for the pilgrim along his pilgrimage, and in very specific ways. Recall in Psalm 120, we had considered the psalmist's holy complaint of being distressed, right at the very start and first of the songs, distressed from being surrounded with all kinds of false and hurtful speech, the lying and deceitful tongue. How reminiscent this is of our circumstances today, where there is so much fake news and lies floating all around us, also in the sphere of the churches. In that psalm, God assures the psalmist of His help amid that particular distress. Now here in Psalm 121, we find the psalmist speaking of his need for safety and assurance of that safety throughout his entire pilgrimage. And we find here too Jehovah ministering to that need in various ways. We're going to take some time this evening to examine in detail just exactly how Jehovah does that by considering this psalm. Let's consider it this evening under the theme, The Pilgrim's Assurance of Perfect Safety. We'll notice in the first place the pilgrim's need for safety. We'll notice in the second place his perfect safety. And then we conclude with his assurance and rejoicing. The psalmist's heartfelt need for safety is the occasion for this psalm. And this need for safety is a point well made, even if it is implicitly made throughout the entire psalm. How so? Well, for starters, let's be reminded that first and foremost, this is a song of ascents. And therefore, it is to be sung by all faithful pilgrims traveling on their pilgrimage to Mount Zion. In that context, the psalmist speaks of his need for help. Right away, he does that in the opening two verses. What kind of help? Specifically, safety. Safety. Protection from harm and danger along his pilgrimage. And that comes out in various ways. That comes out, first of all, from the Hebrew word for keepeth in the original, which has been translated in two ways in the King James. Keepeth itself in the verses 3 through 5, and preserve in the verses 6 through 8. The psalmist needs to be kept and preserved. Kept and preserved from what? Kept and preserved from harm and danger. He needs safety. Safety in his travels and pilgrimage. This need for safety of the psalmist along his pilgrimage is further amplified by what's mentioned next in verse 3. His foot. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The foot there, of course, being used there by the Holy Spirit as a symbol of the pilgrim, entire pilgrim himself, sojourning, going along on his pilgrimage to Zion. And the foot being moved captures the threat of the fact that the pilgrim might be taken off course from his objective and final destination. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That in the second place. But most of all, that need for safety comes out from verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And all evil is all kinds of evil, all kinds of harm and danger. In other words, the psalmist's heartfelt need for safety and assurance of it from all harm and danger is spelt out in this verse and throughout the entire psalm. Jehovah promises his ministry and care of the psalmist and the pilgrim on his pilgrimage. The psalmist's cry and need here in the psalm is that of safety. Safety from the many, many dangers that he and the Old Testament pilgrims will be facing on their travels towards Mount Zion. What dangers? Well, the gospel accounts give to us just some of the well-known dangers that the pilgrim faced. And one that comes to mind is that of Luke chapter 10 and of the Good Samaritan that Jesus speaks of in that passage. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 34. Verse 30 reads as follows. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. That's verse 30. And then the following verses, you have the religious Levite and priest encountering this poor man who was beat up but who continue on their journey and way as if they had never really seen him. But then we read in verse 33, a certain Samaritan, not a Jew, Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So there was a pilgrim traveling to Mount Zion who was beat up and robbed by bandits. They took his money. They took all his possessions. They took his garments. They did all of that forcibly and violently, wounding him severely, leaving him dying. And he would have died had it not been for a good Samaritan who exercised compassion upon him, who cared for him, and nursed him back to health. Now, a quick survey of good and reliable Bible background books reveals that the landscape in which the Old Testament pilgrim traveled in throughout his travels had and contained some very lonely, twisting and turning roads. Twisting, turning roads with corners and other areas conducive for bandits to hide and to actually hide, and then coming out, lurking out from the shadows, coming out to attack and rob very vulnerable and lonely travelers and pilgrims, victimizing them, taking from them what all that they have. That's the danger there of bandits and being robbed. Now, besides the danger of bandits and being robbed and bandits preying over lonely, vulnerable pilgrims, there were many other dangers that the Old Testament pilgrim faced. There was the many dangers of the environment. There being the desert wilderness as much of the travel land. There was the danger of traveling in the wilderness, the danger of having very little by way of food and no water for most of the way, and no decent place of rest. And moreover, there was the danger of the elements and the nature in that wilderness, which is completely unshielded. The sun, we are told, smiting the pilgrim by day, and the cold night with its coldness and all the nakedness of the wilderness, leaving the pilgrim bare and exposed to extreme cold, extreme heat in the day, extreme cold in the night, leaving the pilgrim to suffer and be in danger of heat stroke or else of suffering from great cold. And besides the danger from the nature and the environment, there was the danger of the predator animals as well, lying in wait to attack them, especially in the night. In these circumstances, we can easily imagine, beloved, the cares and concerns of a pilgrim. The dark shadows of doubts and fears that the Israelites had in their heart of hearts when they made their journey to Mount Zion. We can imagine that, can't we? And that's because we too are pilgrims. We too are on a pilgrimage, not to earthly Mount Zion, but to heavenly Zion, pictured by that earthly mountain. And being pilgrims and strangers sojourning in the waste, howling wilderness of this world, we face many dangers, many threats, many snares. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord ministers to us especially through this entire songbook of his, the Psalms, given for us to sing, and in particular by having us sing the songs of ascent. Do we know them? Do we know the Psalms? Do we know these Psalms? And do we sing them? Do we take them to heart? The Old Testament pilgrim knew these Psalms. They memorized them and they sang them from the heart. They were their travel companions along their pilgrimage. God took care of them, ministered to them in that most amazing way of them taking these words upon their lips to sing them. And we see Jehovah's marvelous care of them in ministering to them, specifically in to begin with in Psalm 120. We had considered that last time in our to open the series, when Jehovah brought to our attention the danger and distress arising from hurtful speech. Woeful speech, beloved, brings woeful effects upon the soul. Are we mindful of that? How has our speech been of late? Has it been edifying and helpful? Or has it been a touch woeful? Now, besides the danger of the tongue, there are also many other challenges we face along our pilgrimage. On the personal and family level, we face trials and temptations along the road to heaven. That road to heaven is not a straight path, and not a nice and rosy path. It so often has its twists and turns, with surprises hiding, lurking around the corner in hidden places, ready to jump out upon us and threaten us along our travels. Surprises from our health, surprises from our job and careers, or else surprises coming from our immediate family, our spouse, our children, or extended family. And all of that, beloved, taking place in the context of our pilgrimage in this dark and sinful world. A waste howling wilderness that only brings further distress and pain upon us, adding unrest to our already weary souls. How great, therefore, are the dangers, the distresses, and discouragements that come our way. All kinds of doubt, all kinds of fears, even despair form quickly in our hearts and minds, already from the personal and family level. And then there are the doubts and the fears and distresses that so easily plague us on other fronts. Church and denomination, and national front. On the denominational front especially, with so many griefs, issues, needs and burdens that have come our way in recent years, impacting especially directly our brethren across our churches, throughout our denomination, and also affecting us in one way or another, sooner or later. And also nationally, with so many moral and political ills today in our society, with supply chain wars, with record high inflation, with fears of a recession looming large. We can identify with the doubt and the fears and anxieties of the psalmist and the Old Testament pilgrim, can't we? Such, beloved, is the pilgrim's need for safety. And he has that safety. The pilgrim's safety is, in fact, a perfect safety, a wonderful, perfect safety, for his safety is none other than the Lord, the Jehovah himself. Jehovah himself, our covenant God, so wants us to know and to know that for a fact in our heart of hearts, that he makes that known several ways, repeatedly, and in various ways throughout this very short psalm. He makes that known right away in the very first two verses of the psalm. I will lift up, says the psalmist under inspiration, mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. Notice how, beloved, he calls attention to the direction of the psalmist's gaze for help. Children, are you listening? What direction does the psalmist gaze towards to look for help? Not backwards. Not downwards. He doesn't look down. Not even horizontally around him, but onward, forward, and upward. That's the direction of his gaze. Onward, forward, upwards. That direction recorded by the Holy Spirit for us to take note. Where was the psalmist's help? Where is our help? Our good, strong, reliable help is in that direction. Those eyes, beloved, are not gazing blindly into the clouds and to thin air, but up to the hills, we are told in the psalm. Why the hills? Because those hills are the mountain range in which Mount Zion is located. You see, the Old Testament pilgrim continually had his eyes fixed upon Zion as he traveled, because that was his destination, that's where he's headed, and above all, as he tells us here under inspiration, that's where his help is. That's where Jehovah dwells. Jehovah is his help. Jehovah is his safety, and he has his eyes ever fixed in that direction, mindful of the fact that he has perfect help and safety. Perfect help and safety in Jehovah. His is a strong help. His is an abiding help. His is a perfectly reliable help, and therefore a perfect safety. And especially this point of him being the perfect, all-encompassing safety of the psalmist is brought out in various poetic ways in this psalm. First main way would be this, in the verses 3 through 8, by the repeated mention of Jehovah, either with his name explicitly or else by the pronoun he. Notice verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's not going to sleep. Don't worry. Verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And then verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord, verse 7, shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He. The Lord. Oh, beloved, how shall we not know and fail to see and behold this perfect safety that is ours in Jehovah, especially when we call to mind the words of this psalm. And as we take those words upon our lips and sing them, especially in the midst of our trial and affliction. He. The Lord. It is Jehovah. It is He who is the psalmist and who is our perfect safety. That's the first main way in which that's emphasized. There is a second main way, and the point is well made by him being identified there as our keeper, which is so emphasized in these six verses by the Hebrew word keep. The Lord our keeper keeps. He keeps. And that's, though, regrettably translated in two different ways in our King James, losing, therefore, some of its intended power and poetic effect. It's translated as keep and preserve. Notice in verses 3 through 5, keepeth is the word and translation there for the same word. And then keepeth in verses 3 and 4, and keeper in verse 5. And then in the verses 7 and 8, a different rendition of the same Hebrew word, preserve. Verse 7, twice we see the word preserve, and yet again, preserve in verse 8. But in the original Hebrew, it's just the same word. He keeps. That's all that Jehovah does. Don't worry, you in your pilgrimage and your travel. Don't worry about those dangers. Jehovah keeps. He's the keeper. He's not going to fall asleep at any moment at all. All he does is keep. He forever will keep. How emphatic the Holy Spirit is in both these main ways in identifying our perfect safety beyond a shadow of doubt. Jehovah is our keeper, and thus he is our perfect safety in our pilgrimage. And that becomes clear to us why this is so emphasized when we, of course, consider who Jehovah is. It's that name again, isn't it? The covenant name of God, the name that reveals that he is both our Father and friend, who will never leave nor forsake us, but will always be faithful to us. He is the covenant, yes, covenant keeping God. And besides, that name Jehovah also means I am that I am. And that meaning of that name speaks of the great almighty virtues that Jehovah our God has. He is absolutely supreme and almighty. He is able. He is the able God of our salvation with infinite power and strength. He's our able God, almighty God of our salvation, and he is our faithful Father. And he is unlike earthly fathers. Unlike earthly fathers who are weak and imperfect, Jehovah, our heavenly Father and friend, is infinitely strong, totally able to keep every one of his promises. and willing to do so because He also is our faithful God and Father. We have this one, this Jehovah, as our safety. That being the case, beloved, it is wonderful news to us when we are told that He is our keeper. For what does He do as our keeper? Short answer, He keeps us from all dangers. He protects us. And if you ask how specifically, the psalmist provides us with some answers in the verses 5 through 8. In the verses 5 and 6, He is our shade at our right hand, meaning He is our protector. Protector from the sun, the scorching sun, the burning, scorching heat of the sun by day, as mentioned explicitly, but also a protector from the extreme darkness and cold by night. He is the protector, protecting from those elements and protecting from everything else. We all know how deadly the rays of the sun can be without any shelter. We all know how deadly cold can be as well. We all know how deadly it is to be exposed to the elements, especially without any cover and protection. Jehovah is our protector. He is our shade, our protector at our right hand. He is with us. That's verses 5 and 6. And then there's the verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In other words, verse 7 refers to the Lord's keeping of us from all spiritual harm and dangers. All. From sin and temptation, from the devil himself and his demons and cohorts and all those under him, from the sinful world and its lusts and pleasures and attractions. Yes, also from our own sinful nature. The Lord will keep us from all spiritual dangers. That's verse 8. And verse 7 and verse 8 refers to the Lord's keeping of us from all earthly dangers throughout our pilgrimage. And this too, beyond all our thoughts and imaginations, He's also going to turn evils that come our way for our profit and advantage. That's Him. He's the sovereign Jehovah who is pleased also to do that. So second, in summary, the answer to the question, what does He do as our keeper? I believe that's best answered by another question. What does He not do? What does He not do as our keeper? What does He not do to keep us from all harm and danger? And then, what profit will He not minister to us by turning evil and affliction to our advantage? What lessons of grace will He not have us learn from these things? And what good does He have not in mind? Does He not have in mind for us going through the painful afflictions that we do? Never in isolation, but always together with a group and traveling band of pilgrims. traveling together with us, singing together with us, helping us, being also our aid and encouragement along our way upward together to Mount Zion. The Lord is our keeper, our good, sovereign, blessed keeper. He is our safety, and beloved, such is His safety that He keeps us safe from the greatest danger of the pilgrimage that we face. The greatest danger of that waste, howling wilderness that we have to go through along the way to get to Mount Zion, heavenly Zion above. And what is that greatest danger that I speak of? Isn't it this? That we somehow fail to arrive at our final destination and goal. Or in other words, that we fall away completely to total perdition and suffering the everlasting punishment of soul and body in hell forever. That will never happen to us. For you see, the Jehovah, who is our safety, provides us with a salvation and Savior who is called Jesus. Jehovah salvation. And He has redeemed us from death and the grave. He has suffered the agonies of hell on our behalf, in our place, substituting for us so that we never end up there. And it is this Jesus who taught us in John chapter 10, verse 28, didn't He, that we are safe in Father's hand, that no man and nothing shall pluck us out of His hand? The inspired Apostle Paul puts it in a very emphatic way in Romans chapter 8, that nothing, not principalities, not powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such then is the pilgrim's perfect safety. And therefore also, for him, he has wonderful assurance and he rejoices. Such is the pilgrim's assurance and rejoicing that he begins the psalm this way, the way that he does. I will lift up mine eyes. I will. Even in the midst of his troubles and trials, I will. I'm going to look that way. I'm going to gaze that way because before me is the help and safety that I have. The wonderful safety and help. In that way, beloved, the psalmist expresses assurance. He expresses a confidence of his safety in Jehovah, a confidence that is of faith, a quiet confidence from a steadfast, true, and living faith. And so, beloved, he is determined to direct his gaze onward, forward, and upwards. Not downwards in despondency, not even horizontally to focus on the problems at hand, for he knows that such is his perfect safety, that is that he is far infinitely greater and larger than the sum of all his problems and dangers put together. And so he is assured, he is confident, and not only that, he is also rejoicing. Yes, beloved, let's not forget that all these words that we are considering here in the text is a psalm. A song, and not just any song, God's inspired song for us, for His pilgrims. His pilgrims throughout all ages to carry with them in their mind and heart along and throughout their pilgrimage. The psalmist rejoices as he sings this song, one of the songs of hope and joy that he has been called by his Jehovah to sing on his way to Zion. And so, beloved, what is your worry tonight? What is your fear? What is your doubt? Lift up your eyes unto your God, your keeper, and behold him. And in that way, all doubts, all fears, all worries are at once driven away. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the words that are inscripturated here in thy holy inspired songbook, meant for us not only to be familiar with somewhat, but to know, to call to mind. And we pray too for our children to memorize, to use, to sing from young, to be acquainted with as friends and travel companions, so that more and more these songs are songs which are thine, meant for us, and do in fact minister to us along life's pathway as we encounter heartaches and troubles and challenges. Grant us thy blessing, O Lord, for we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.